Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, we've got a new sponsor.
Hi, I'm Dewey Cheatham from Marginal Landscaping. And for almost 8 months, we've been building a reputation for nearly adequate work priced just above industry standard. Our secret is doing the job quickly without all the extra measures other companies take, which saves us money. If you are not satisfied or your landscaping needs repair, we will gladly come back to finish the job for the same low price we did the original work for. To contact us, go to our website at www.geocities.com/landscaping/247622.475136.27/marginal/247762139.html or call me on my mom's second line at 612-555-1234. That's 612-555-1234. Marginal Landscaping. We don't claim to be the best, and it shows. That number again is 612-555-1234. 612-555-1234. One more time, that's 612-555-1234.
Nothing but first class here at Wretched Radio. Let's check in with the world, shall we? It is always good to observe what's happening so that we can be wise as serpents. But if we only look at the news stories to glean what horrible things are happening today, look at this foolishness, that guy's stupid. I think we're only going to fill our souls with a lot of poison, and we're probably going to become cynical if we haven't already. So let's look at some of the stories that are big, that have implications for the church, specifically regarding soul winning. How might we use what is going on in the lives of most people to say, there's a better way? And I'm not talking about Libby Glossin's new podcast, which will be out in February. That's the better way. We can tell people, hey, if you're feeling like this, there is a better way. And it is God's way, and it is good, and it is always right. Everything that God ordains is good. All of the rules that he has written for humanity are not burdensome. They're for our best. God's rules shouldn't be seen as, he's just taking all the fun out of everything. No, he's not. He's giving us something more transcendent. He is giving us something called joy and peace and shalom, where our soul is settled. It's good. It is a good thing. Talked about this, sorry for bringing up Sunday sermon, but doing the transitive math property as applied to theology. God is thrilled. He's totally happy. He's perfectly content and settled. If you want the ideal for what your emotion should look like, for what your decision-making should look like, look at God. And when we mirror him, when we go about the business of trying to be like him, then guess what happens? We become like him as we stare at Jesus with unveiled face. We are changed from one level of glory to another. And guess what the fruit is? We will be happy. And that should help you in your battle against sin. If you've got a besetting sin, whatever it happens to be, and you're tired and you don't really seem to have a lot of gas in your tank to fight it, this is it. Understanding that when God says no, it isn't because he just wants to be a bummer. It's because it's the best thing for you. Think of that, because your flesh is going to say, no. What I want to do, that's the best thing for me. And God says, no. I happen to know better, which kind of the understatement of the millennium. And when he says no, the fruit of being obedient to that is you will be shalom, because that's the way you're supposed to be. It's the effect of the fall. It has damaged everything in our noodles. It has affected our entire person. It's our emotions, our will, our feelings, how we respond. how we communicate, all of it is just janky. And the process of sanctification is unjankifying your brain. That's right. You go ahead and Google that. I think D.A. Carson maybe coined that term. By the way, speaking of D.A. Carson, I've got that somewhere here. I believe that he is now stepping down from ministry because I want to say Parkinson's is what he is struggling with. He's 78 years old. Now, if I can find my glasses, which is always a challenge because I don't have my glasses on, and how should I be expected to find my glasses when I don't have my glasses? 21st century probs. D.A. Carson retires. Yep, battle with Parkinson's. He is a prolific theologian. This fellow is an emeritus professor of New Testament at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School. That'd be your TEDS. Written or edited over 60 books on theology, biblical studies, Christian living. And this is an announcement that says, I have to step back. He wrote a letter at Christmas time saying the physical limitations slow him down. The cognitive limitations constitute a more serious impediment. A few weeks ago, he wrote, for several minutes, I tried to convince my neurologist that we're living in 2008. Couldn't remember the name of the first president of the United States. I thought of offering to provide the name of the first prime minister of Canada, which I could remember, but I doubt the neurologist would have been impressed. Apparently maintaining his sense of humor, he is known to say, I'm not suffering from anything that a good general resurrection can't fix. Praying for D.A. Carson and his family. He's served faithfully. Without scandal, he's 78. And he, I believe, don't want to speak for him, would affirm what I'm saying about being obedient. When you deny yourself, oh, I want to do that. I want to have that shot of tequila or whatever your thing is. And it says, it's actually good for you because it's going to calm your nerves. It's been a long day. Those are lies. God says, let's get rid of the tequila. Jose, say adios, because it's not best for you. And that also has to do, by the way, with pornography. Your body wants to partake, and it is a loud voice shouting at you. Know that. Denying yourself, because God says, no, you don't put your eyes on that stuff. Because it's bad for you, and I want better for you. And as we submit to him, he's rewiring, he's de-jankifying our brain, to use D.A. Carson's term. And he's helping us to think rightly like him. And the more we think like him, the happier we are going to be. That is why we should be obedient. And I think there's three ways that you can view obedience. You can look back, you can look present, and you can look future. Meaning, you look back and you see what Jesus has done for you. You look back and see what he accomplished for you on the cross. You look back and understand when he rose from the dead, my eternity was sealed in him because he made the payment. The resurrection is the receipt. I am good to go. And that should give you some strength to battle sin. Shouldn't it? But you can also look at present. Are you breathing? Being good to you. Are you alive? Being good to you. You've got some stuff, maybe not as much stuff as you want, but you got some stuff. Being good to you. Furthermore, he keeps you saved. And that should give you power. And that should give you the strength to deny yourself, to pick up your cross and follow him. But I also think you can look forward. You can look forward to understand this obedience that is so difficult for me is going to be rewarded by God. And as you ponder past, present, and future goodness of God in Christ Jesus, you're going to find yourself wanting to deny the desire of your heart and go with his program. That should encourage us. And I think then we can bring that to our understanding of what is happening in the world. Their brains are broken. They're jankified. And they just, they don't understand. So what do? We try to help them understand. And I think understanding what they're dealing with will help us to approach them. When it comes to evangelism, almost everybody, myself included, I used to struggle with this. I don't anymore, but because I've just done it enough times to understand you really don't need to be clever when it comes to segues. You just don't. To get from the natural to the spiritual, you can just plop it out. And nobody ever goes, hey, wait a second. We were talking about the Minnesota Vikings losing again. Wow. 14-3. Come on, postseason Vikings, get your act together. And then suddenly you're talking about Jesus. Nobody's ever gone, that was a switcheroo. Having said that, if I can understand the heart of the person that I'm talking to, what life is like currently, and how they are experiencing the effects of sin, then I can talk to them in a way that causes them to see, hey, wait a second. You mean Christianity isn't just about being a drag when it comes to partying? You mean it offers me something like shalom and peace and joy? That is why we study the world, which we'll do next on Wretched Radio.
Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Imagine having a bank account filled with millions of dollars, never using it. Well, that's theology without application. Introducing Integrated with Dr. John Crotch.
We'll help you connect head and heart, turning Bible knowledge into life-changing action.
Visit FortisInstitute.org or download the Fortis Plus app today and start listening to Integrated with Dr. John Crotch. FortisInstitute.org. It's FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Big news from Fortis. As you know, we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org. Now we're adding someone incredible to the mix, our very first fellowette. Starting February 7th, Libby Glosson, one of the finest biblical counselors in the country, will be joining the team. She'll be doing a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. Not because we're trying to check some type of box, but because she's that good. See what I mean? February 7th at fortisplus.org. You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now, always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds, this is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, here at Fortis Institute, we just learned that all of our brand new podcasts that began just in October of last year have come in ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts in the entire world. And that's happened only because of your support. And if you would like to support us even further by joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, well, then we would welcome you with open arms. Find out more about what that would look like in your life by logging on right now to FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the fall brought conflict into the world. But through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What in the world is going on? This is Wretched Radio. A good question to ask when we read the news is, what does this indicate? What is in the heart and mind of individuals who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? And how might I use this information to show them how great God is? We're going to be releasing a video pretty soon, I think, that dives deeper into our gospel presentations. And believe me, I've been guilty of this too, but I don't want to be guilty of it anymore. We should be presenting the law and the gospel. The people can't understand Jesus Christ dying on a cross, forgiveness of sins, resurrection from the they can't get it unless they've been convicted by the law. The seed, it will not go to soil if the soil isn't tilled up. And that is what the law does. It tills up the stony heart to receive the word of the gospel. So we're going to keep doing that. But I think, and I wouldn't make it a law, but I think, and maybe especially in this era, but perhaps every generation would enjoy hearing that justification, being made right with God, is a means to an end. There's something more beyond that, and that is being in a right relationship with God Himself, who desires a relationship with human beings. And I think we need to remember that justification, it goes beyond a legal declaration into a relational arrangement, where we are ushered into the presence of God, introduced to Him, courtesy of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can know Him, be known by Him, and be in a relationship with God. That's amazing news. And I'm going to try to incorporate that, if possible, because I think right now the world, they're drained. A sign that a nation is unhappy is the birth rate. When you see that we are producing fewer babies than we used to, when you see that we are not even replacing ourselves with the number of children that we're making, that is a sign that we've got an unhappy country. And we know that, don't we? Depression, anxiety, the psychotropics. Then how's about the suicide rate? Suicide, I think it's in like the top five reasons that the causes of death. Suicide? Now, that means the world is aching and we don't adjust the gospel. Oh, you've got an aching heart. Well, Jesus will mend it. Well, no, that's not the gospel. That's a fruit of the gospel, but that's not the gospel. But knowing that people are hurting, doesn't that perhaps alter the way that we present the gospel? I don't mean we change the gospel, but to show, look at how good God is. Look at how good God is. Look at how amazing He is. You've got something to live for. You've got someone to live for. God has you here because He wants you here. This was an article from SDR, Suicide, When Hope Runs Out. Roughly twice as many people die by suicide than are murdered every year in this country. Whoa. Do you know that 131 people take their lives every day? In America, 131 people, and they represent far more than that, 131 every single day. So in the hour this program drones on, that means five people will have taken their lives in this hour, one every 11 minutes. It's the second largest, oh, here's the statistic, it's the second largest cause of death among 10 to 34-year-olds. Man, come on, don't we have enough scientific evidence to go, okay, why that demographic? They're the ones, what's unique about them? And there's two words that come to mind, cell and phone. Suicide rates have climbed 36% in the last 20 years. 13.6% of 18 to 25-year-olds have contemplated ending their lives. This is not good. 57% of high school females reporting feeling persistently sad or hopeless. Does Christianity have anything to offer the sad and the hopeless? It's the only thing that can offer something for people who are sad and hopeless. It's the only thing. Everything else is a band-aid. The numbers are just soaring here. 24%, these are kids, actually made a suicide plan in 2021. I'll bet it's gone up. A quarter of the kids. Think about your youth group, especially if you're a youth pastor. Think about it. Quarter of them. They made plans. Do you think the other ones are at least have had thoughts run through their mind? Let's get serious, youth groups. Let's get serious. The kids need it. They need no more pizza. As much as I love the barbecue chicken pizza down the street, it is not going to bring them hope or joy. It is not going to remove suicidal thoughts. There's only one thing that will. It's time for us to get sober-minded when it comes to youth ministry. When was the last time, this is STR, probably Greg Kokel, when was the last time you heard suicide addressed in your church? I think we better start. I don't know that you want to cram it in where it doesn't belong just to check a box, but looking out over your congregation, pastor, you should know that there are people as shiny as they look on Sunday morning. They're having these thoughts. People contemplating suicide feel boxed in. They've run out of options. Death seems like the only respite. It's just a break from this the incessant heaviness that weighs on them. At the center of suicidal ideation is a loss of hope. We have a message for the world, don't we? By the way, related statistic, Washington, D.C. has the highest share of single mom households in America. Actually, this is very related because there's statistics all over the place. We're not having kids. We're not getting married. Does the church have a word for that? I'm telling you, feminism, they scream, and the church whispers on this subject. I would ask this too. Now, if your pastor hasn't spoken about suicide, it could be because he simply wasn't aware, hadn't thought about it, or the text didn't lend itself. But if you're preaching the gospel, that should lend itself to talking about these issues. So don't jump all over your pastor. You maybe can lovingly encourage or remind him, but don't jump all over him to be talking about these things because a jabbering talk show host brought it up. But having said that, when was the last time you heard a sermon on the joys of marriage? How great it is to be in a one flesh union. How deep and profound it is. And how wonderful it is. And there ain't nothing like it on this planet relationally that goes any deeper than that. What about kids? Having kids, people are scared to have kids these days. Understandably so. This might help you if you're a bit older like Jimmy. Do you remember having to hide underneath your desk to save yourself from nuclear fallout when the Russians dropped the bomb? Do you remember that? All right. That was there regularly. What was happening with the Soviet Union, it wasn't Russia then, it was the Soviet Union. They were aggressive. They were taking over parts of Eastern Europe. They were invading countries and they had nuclear missiles and we knew it. And so in school, you had to train, okay, kids, if the siren goes off because a missile is heading in from the Soviet Union, get underneath your desk. Let's practice now. Okay. Now, did it debilitate anybody? I don't know, but it certainly does weigh there, doesn't it? I think that there's a lot of nuclear bombs weighing on young people these days. When it comes to the things that you and I used to find delightful, marriage and parenthood is under us. It's just parenting. Are you kidding me? Parenting in this economy with global warming? You can't afford a house now. Wait until you have a kid. You won't be able to afford Similac. Daycare, we don't have daycare. Which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. But the point is, they scare them. And they're living underneath that. So I think this might be the conclusion of the matter. Two conclusions. Number one, have everybody listen to Brad Bidney's podcast on marriage and parenting. It's Thrive. It's available to Fortis Plus. And by the way, you will not get a better podcast than that. All of these guys, I'm just telling you, they are all A level, triple A level. And Brad Bigney does a bang up job on marriage and parenting. But second, how's about if we Christians start talking about our faith in a more hopeful way, in a positive way? Not just in a you're wrong way. We do say that. Not saying we don't say that. You're lost without Jesus Christ. We say that, but we speak more hopefully. Here's the good news. You can be spared from the wrath that is to come. Wait. More than that. All of your thinking, God's going to go to work on it. Your emotions, you know, your loneliness. He's got a program and a plan to help you with those things. And maybe the moral to this story is let's recognize what's going on in the world. It is hopeless, and we alone have the message of hope. Let's present our faith that way. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.